people love it.
Yes, I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Akron Fed Culture Transportation Study Technical Advisory Committee, Thursday, May 12th, 1:30 p.m. We've determined that there's a quorum present. The next item of business is the March 17th, 2016 meeting minutes.
Dave White moves to approve.
Are there any changes, additions, corrections before we take that motion? Hearing none, Dave White has moved.
You have a second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Passes. Next on the agenda is the staff report, financial progress report. Curtis Baker.
All right, so if you turn to attachment 3A, what you'll see is we've expended about 73% of the AMATS budget. We anticipate that by the end of the year, we'll probably have about a 10% cushion. That's because of some employment changes, things like that, that we haven't, you know, recovered from immediately. But we're in very good shape in the budget-wise, and you know, be happy to answer any questions.
Dave White, move to approve.
Tomasi, second.
We have a motion to approve the financial progress report, and a second. All in favor, signal aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same side. Motion passes. Next on the agenda, technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. So a couple things just wanted to keep you aware of or remind you if you'd forgotten. First of all, the Connecting Communities Planning Grants are available. The applications are due May 27th. I remind any communities that are interested, if you are putting in a local match, we are asking for legislation which would confirm from council that that local match is going to be a part of that. Also, I think the big crux of what we're doing, you'll hear about the freight plan today, but we're wrapping up through in this last year before our plan is due. The major planning products that we're required to do through the federal transportation planning process. So that will include our congestion management process, where we evaluate our congestion, both existing and future. A bike plan and also a transit plan will be coming up here in the next year before the plan is completed in next May. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the next order of business. AMATS Federal Funds Report, presenting will be Dave Pulley.
Okay, thank you. I'm filling in for Victor, who has to leave unexpectedly this morning. 2016 is still shaping up to be one of our biggest years ever so far. We originally had $40 million of projects scheduled to sell. We actually lost a project. Cross Road was bid a couple weeks ago, and the bids came in high. They had one bidder, and it was 18% over the cost estimate. So I think the game plan now is to try to rebid that. In 17, first or second quarter of 17. For those of you who have projects, who have just recently been awarded projects, you should already have your programming into ODOT. The next step is to have a scope meeting. Scope meetings are scheduled by ODOT, and those will include the sponsor and an AMATS staff member. We still have a few more weeks in fiscal year 2016, and we still have projects that are that we're hoping will sell. We have some that actually have sold or are in the process of selling, and one of those is State Route 59, the Interbelt. I know, I think it's sold last week, and it's just in the process now of getting paperwork signed and such. I guess the other thing that I'd like to mention is for 2017, fiscal year 2017, we don't have a lot of projects. We have a lot of loans that we have to pay back, so that's consuming a lot of the money in fiscal year 2017. But because of that, we are able to give you the 15% increase on your 2017 projects. So that was we weren't able to do that in 16 because of over programming, but fortunately we will be able to do that in 17. So that's about all the news I have on funding. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Thank you. Old business, we have the 2016 pay plan. Jack Hardy.
Attachment 4A. The purpose of the freight plan is to identify freight moving assets in the AMATS area and to develop and maintain data and analytic tools for analyzing the movement of freight and to gain an understanding of the needs of the area stakeholders, the AMATS members, as well as private carriers of freight in the area, and then to incorporate freight into the planning process, at first in the congestion management report, and then eventually into the regional transportation plan. As part of that process, we will be developing performance measures and then set and attempt to achieve the goals of those performance measures as part of the freight planning process. In terms of the TIP and the regional transportation plan, our goal is to ultimately construct projects that aid in the movement of freight in the area. Freight moving assets in the AMATS area consist of the highway system, public rights of way, particularly the national highway system, legally and in terms of what AMATS does as a planning agency, fund projects. So where that funding can be put in for the movement of freight, ultimately that's what we're trying to do here. So traditionally, the destination of federal funding in the AMATS area has been for the highway system, but we also have a rail system, the majority of which is privately owned and privately funded. Metro RTA does own some rail lines in the area, and there is some freight movement active on a portion of those lines. In terms of the airport, we have one major airport. The Akron-Canton Airport does, however, only have a small amount of freight movement there. The issue is the importance of highway access to the airport, so we want to maintain that or improve that. Most of the airport freight movement goes in and out of Columbus at Rickenbacker Airport. And in terms of maritime freight movement, the AMATS area no longer has any maritime freight movement since the Great Flood of 1913. We have some obstacles to moving freight in the AMATS area. Delays, particularly during peak hours, highway congestion. There are safety issues. In terms of geometrics and bottlenecks that can occur on, for instance, the central interchange. Intersections we have in the area that do not currently meet current standards. That's difficult for the movement of freight due to congestion or safety-related issues. For the rail system, there are choke points in the area that slow down the movement of rail freight in the area. Where highways and rails intersect, there are issues in terms of intermodal access, the ability to change from one mode to another, from rail to highway and back and forth. And there are issues related to private ownership of the rails. We can't force the rail system, Norfolk Southern and CSX generally in our area, two big ones, to make improvements without their permission. On page 7 of the freight report, you'll see map 1, the daily truck volumes in the area. Our two biggest areas of truck volume are State Route 82 in Macedonia and I-76, I-77 through the central part of Akron. And right now, ODOT is sponsoring a large project at Main and Broadway to improve that interchange there, and they're making a large number of improvements throughout I-76 through the central interchange. Throughout the AMATS area to improve congestion and safety through those areas. In terms of improving system performance, ODOT is sponsoring the I-76 as well as the I-271 capacity improvements. We have operational improvements. The majority of AMATS projects, AMATS-sponsored projects, are not capacity related. Only 7% of EMS attributable projects are capacity related. Most of our projects are preservation or maintenance, as well as operational improvements such as intersection turn lanes, signal upgrades, or roundabouts. In the last few years, we've done a number of those projects. ODOT continues, of course, to sponsor projects and make highly significant improvements in the area as well. Our goal is to gain support for freight funding, which for AMATS as a governmental planning agency tends to be highway-related projects, but there are private partnerships with rail agencies that can make improvements that would assist the rail companies as well. Map 2, which is on page 10 of your freight report, shows rail ownership and train activity in the AMATS area. The number of trains per day varies on which rail line you're looking at there. And the data that's on the map, some of it can be up to 5 years old, so the number of trains per day has changed and varies from year to year. But the generally the ratios and the amounts of rail traffic is generally the same as what you see on the map there. The green section in the northern part of Summit County is Norfolk Southern. That's the busiest rail section in the AMATS area, and it's been that way for a few years, and we foresee that continuing into the future. On page 17 of your freight report is map 3 that shows the truck crash locations overlaid over the most congested areas in the AMATS area. Those will be areas where improvements are needed, particularly not just one, but where both occur in the same area. So there are intersections and highway segments. Some of them have already been scheduled or they're already being worked on to improve those areas, particularly, as I mentioned before, I-76 through most of Summit County. ODOT is sponsoring the Akron Central Interchange Project. They've already begun the work there. They're in the process of configuring ramps and access, so that will improve congestion and that will impact the movement of freight in the area. There are a number of places in the AMATS area that still need to be brought up to modern standards in terms of safety, and many of those projects are scheduled or are being scheduled. Oh, since the last AMATS freight report in 2012, one of our biggest needs was to separate the rail and road crossing of Highland Road in Macedonia, and that project was completed in 2013 at a cost of $10.5 million. So it is expensive to separate the rail from the highway, but in terms of safety, that's about the safest thing that you can do to improve an area and reduce congestion and improve air quality due to the long delays as the train goes by. In the report is a table of railroad crossings with safety and congestion issues in terms of high volume and grade crossings. Number one in rank is the Broad Boulevard crossing in Catawba Falls. It's estimated that 32 trains per day go through there, and the ADP is 14,940, which puts it number one on our list when the two variables are factored together. There are 16, I will call them possible needs in that table due to the number of trains, but there is also another issue of train delays, where train stops in the middle of the tracks, blocking the traffic. So this table does not take that into account. So, for example, number 6, Hines Hill Road in Hudson, has a lot of delays. There are a large number of trains. The table says 62, but that varies from day to day, year to year. So they might have a higher need there, and Hudson has plans already drawn up to make an improvement there at Hines Hill. So we'll continue to look at these areas, and when funding becomes available and communities are willing to schedule those and work those projects out, we'll try to assist them the best we can. Broad Boulevard in Catawba Falls, while it is number one on the list, poses some difficulties due to the close proximity of State Route 8 there.
Nice.
So in terms of getting a project, a grade separation project constructed there, I don't know if that's feasible at this point the way things are, but it is number one on our list because of the high volume of traffic there. But there are 16 on the list here, so you know these issues need to be addressed, and they're continuing to be addressed now. On page 21 of the report is map 4 that shows these high volume railroad crossings spread out throughout the Annex area. The numbers there show the rank on the table in yellow with the number. Our next step is to for staff to recommend approval of the freight plan, and then eventually to highlight the needs of the freight plan as part of the congestion management process and the eventual development of the next regional transportation plan. We will also be developing performance measures and goals in coordination with ODOT for the movement of freight. Are there any questions?
Primarily, this report is essentially identifying what's existing now and what situations there are.
Yes, there's no future traffic. Right.
So this is documenting what's happening now.
Yes, sir.
Jeff? I wondered if staff had considered the foreign trade zone at the Akron Canton Airport as being impactful on the freight study.
Well, we don't have any future projections on the free trade zone, but airport highway coordination access is a need in terms of the AMS area for freight. So we will continue to support continued connections between the airport and the highway system.
I wasn't able to see, I probably missed it, but I wasn't able to see mention of it in the report, although I noticed Neotech was mentioned. So,
well, we did not mention specifically the free trade zone in the report, just the airport.
Okay. In its day, when it was created, that was a specific tool that the area didn't have to compete with Rickenbacker Airport. That's why I wondered.
Like the Summit County Port Authority for economic development purposes, even though there's no port, seaport. But for financing purposes, the Summit County Port Authority exists to assist commerce in freight movement.
Okay. Is certain funding available for this other than MX? I mean, these are $10 million jobs, so these ADTs are not astronomical. So.
Right. Well, that's a tough one. ODOT had the grade separation program, which they don't have anymore, but I think it was folded into the highway safety program. So in terms of safety funding, that would be a possible application round.
I think last round of track money, there was a job out for us to lead up the track funding, as it was a bigger railroad grade project. But yeah.
And there was a new federal program focused on freight that was communities could apply directly to. And actually, like I said that to Tom, it was like there was a couple $100 million available for freight needs. But like you said, no matter what, on paper, the Hinds Hill, you don't capture a train sitting on the tracks blocking a road for an hour with the data. It just doesn't get captured. So
Highland Road scored much better in terms of CMAP funding because there's a large amount of truck traffic on Highland Road, and the delays there and the air quality improvements with separating the grade there made it, I guess, more of an impact that it was able to get the funding for that.
They just need to finish the Costco, and you won't have a problem, Chris.
I might also mention, if members are interested in freight, the annual freight conference is going to be in Cleveland this year, August 22nd to the 24th.
One of the interesting things also, it's hard to
project what a future ADT is if you make a correction, because learned behavior of vehicles in the area artificially push that down, because everybody knows trains sit there too long. So people, it's hard to get a high ADT for what the road's capable of in the area it's at. It's hard to measure that. We're having problems with that, like with an Evans Avenue. It's got such a low ADT, so it's hard to score, hard to get any sort of funding with that, even though it would be a great project regionally to open that up with a real grid separation. So, you know, projecting what that could be, nobody looks at what it could be. They look at today's, well, everybody knows not to go that way because you're going to pull up on a train that sits there for 20 minutes. So.
No more comments? Oh, yeah. We need a motion to, staff recommended this, a motion to approve the 2016.
Dave White, move to approve.
There a second?
Paradise, move to approve.
Wait a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against, same side. Passes. Moving on to new business, funding policy subcommittee. First.
All right, so as many of you know, and I believe I talked to all of you about this at the last TAC meeting, where we were going to go to policy committee and recommend that they create a funding policy subcommittee. At the policy committee meeting, the members felt like they didn't have enough information to really appoint the members. You know, they wanted to see the population tables, consider other issues. And so what we did was we developed a survey for members to take. We got about 23 responses. Those responses kind of on ideas of how the committee should be composed and how it should work. So the staff, myself, working with the chairman of the policy committee, did come up with this first draft list, of the subcommittee. And I think what we were looking at was you have, we tried to evenly divide it between Portage County and Summit County. With the chair being the Village of Richfield, who is current policy vice chair. Then we took the largest city in each county, Summit and Portage. Then we took a mid-level city in each county that was under 20,000. And then we took two smaller communities, which we wanted to have dues-paying members, so Ravenna was actually the smallest of the Portage County members, which is why they're on there. And then the county engineers to make sure we get the township consideration. So overall, this is never anything easy to pick when there's, we were kind of, the chairman really felt like he wanted about 9 people on this committee to keep it small enough that we could get some work done. So I am happy with it. I will say just a shout out to both the county engineers. Were recommended by multiple people a number of times, as well as Talmadge was recommended in surveys by a few members. So those were some of the nominations where we actually had multiple nominations, and we tried to include that as well. Because of the size, transit was not included, which I know that was something that transit wanted to be included on this. I think that there will be probably times during the process of the subcommittee that we will reach out to the transit agencies to get their take for the subcommittee in terms of meeting with the subcommittee, but I think at this point on the size to get the representation that we needed, we just felt like it wasn't as critical. And then finally, the only thing I would add was that we did put the policy member as the recommended appointee. However, we do anticipate, obviously, that some of the alternates will participate in this process, especially, for the city of Akron. We're not expecting Mayor Horrigan to show up to the subcommittee, but we wanted to at least give the community the flexibility to choose who they thought was the most important person that they wanted to be there. But with that, are there any questions? I know typically when we've had policy-type decisions done at the TAC level, a lot of times these motions have been tabled just because it gets into a little bit of policy. However, I did want to give the committee an opportunity to either approve it or provide feedback of things that maybe you wanted us to take to the policy committee about the appointees.
Curtis, I think if transit ultimately does get included, this goes up to 11 versus 9, that the 11th member then be Mayor Judge of Barberton.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? Is it something we feel we want to act on as a body? Or I'll entertain a motion for that? Or I'll entertain a motion for
move Jim Greener that we accept it.
I have a motion to accept.
That committee.
To subcommittee as proposed. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second. Any discussion? Okay, then I'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against, same side.
Thank you. And again, we're still accepting comments, so if there are comments that we want to take to the policy committee, feel free to reach out to us, and we will take those to the committee as well.
Okay, we'll move on to the resolutions. We have Resolution 2016-06, approving for fiscal year 2017, the Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget. Jeff Gardner.
Attachment 6A, mail-on packet. Annually, AMAC adopts a work program and budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Fiscal year begins July 1st. The work program identifies the staff planning activities that will take place in the upcoming fiscal year and describes the funding sources that will be used to pay for them. The draft of the FY 2017 work program was approved by the policy committee in January. It was subsequently submitted to ODOT and the Federal Highway Administration for their review and comment. No significant changes to the work program were requested at that time. The major elements of the work program remain the same as the version approved in January. This includes the development of a new TIP to the standard two-year cycle, as well as a new regional transportation plan through the year 2040, with the input studies that are needed for its production. Staff will also be performing the standard traffic counting program that we do every year. The local share amount remains the same as the one approved in January. Approximately $152,000 in local share dues is requested in order to fund a total budget of just under $1.7 million for metropolitan planning. The local share amount and total budget are slightly less than last year. The staff is requesting approval of FY 2017 work program.
Would
you please answer any questions?
Hearing no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, second. Okay, so we'll take a vote on Resolution 2016-06 approving the fiscal year 2017 transportation planning work program and budget. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Resolution passes. Next on the agenda is Resolution 2016-07. Again, it's Mr. Gardner.
Thank you very much. There are two resolutions within Attachment 6B. So the first one is 2016-07. We pass both of these resolutions every year, and these are very similar every year. 2016-07. Affirms the AMET's annual approval of the current regional transportation law, transportation plan. We're required by law to reapprove the regional transportation plan every year, so we bring this resolution to you every May. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP, which was approved last year and then subsequently amended on a number of occasions. And it affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the state implementation plan, the SIP, for air quality conformity. I feel like I can go on to the next resolution, or the staff would request that you approve 2016-07.
Do we have any questions on this resolution? Let's go on.
You want to go on to the second one? Or?
No, let's go ahead and approve this
move
one.
I'll approve the first one.
Thank you.
Second
point. All in favor of approval of Resolution 2016-07, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same side. It passes. Go ahead.
Resolution 2016-08 is within the same attachment. It's a self-certification resolution. It certifies that the MS transportation and planning process is being implemented in compliance with all federal requirements. The MS transportation planning process is conducted under the supervision, continuing supervision of ODOT. So we are asking that the policy committee self-certify that we are continuing to do this as part of the planning process. So the staff is also recommending approval of Resolution 2016-08.
Any discussion? Do I have a motion?
Dave White, move to approve.
Second.
Jim Reiner.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those against, same sign. Motion passes. Do we have any other business?
No other business.
Anybody else have any other business? If not, very well, then we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.